I'm Louisa.
I'm Delilah.
I'm Jackie.
And I'm Juliet.
We're your hosts for this episode of Women's Rights. In this episode, we are exploring the story of women's ordination in the Roman Catholic Church. In particular, we're going to look at a group of Catholics who have advocated for women's ordination and even ordained women.
The Roman Catholic Women Priests, or the RCWP movement, advocates for the ordination of women as priests within the Catholic Church. The main goals of this movement include challenging the Church's exclusion of women from the priesthood and addressing issues of justice and inclusivity within the Church. RCWP aims to foster a more progressive and inclusive interpretation of Catholic teachings, arguing that women have the right to serve as priests and contribute to the spiritual leadership of the Church. They have gone beyond just advocacy for women's ordination, too. Since 2007, RCWP has ordained women priests who conduct liturgical services and sacraments in defiance of official church doctrine and canon law.
To learn more about Roman Catholic women priests, we interviewed a recently ordained woman priest, the Reverend Shannon Steringer. To begin our interview, we asked Reverend Steringer to tell us a little bit about herself and when she realized that she had a call to serve as a priest.
I am a cradle Catholic, which means I've been Catholic since I was born. I went to Catholic schools. Participated in Catholic life my whole life. When I was probably in my mid-20s, I began feeling called. I had journeyed away from the Roman Catholic Church for a period of years, in large part because I disagreed with the way it treated women and the LGBTQ community and just general other things. But then I started to find my way back probably in my mid-20s and felt called to get involved in the parish and go back to school.
Shannon Steringer then went on to discuss her journey of getting her religious education and experience of working in the church.
A very long story short, over the course of about 15 years, I ended up working my way as a religious education director, both in the parish and as well as in different other places, other parishes in the diocese, and then also became what's called a diocesan lay ecclesial minister. In the meantime, over the course of those 15 years, I enrolled at the diocesan seminary. So I was simultaneously working through the seminary program and working in the parish. So I knew I had a call to ministry. Of course, was struggling with the fact that the role is so limited for women in the Roman Catholic Church, but nonetheless, Catholicism is what I know. There was also this sense of needing to continue to work for change here in the Roman Catholic Church. So that's in a very brief nutshell, kind of the journey I was. I went through it. In addition to the seminary programs, I also completed a PhD in leadership and in women in leadership, primarily in the Roman Catholic Church. And so I spent most of my academic work in a Roman Catholic theology. And then I did that until 2018. And then I resigned from my position in the parish and was ordained in 2019 and through the Roman Catholic Women Priest Movement.
After the interview, we followed up with Reverend Steringer to learn more about her educational journey. She told us that between 2003 and 2012, she earned 3 theology degrees at St. Mary's Seminary and Graduate School of Theology. Additionally, she was in a 3-year diocesan formation program, which allowed for her certification as a lay ecclesial minister for the Diocese of Cleveland. This certification was later revoked when Reverend Steringer was excommunicated in 2019 after her ordination.
We asked Reverend Steringer to tell us about what she does as a woman priest without access to financial resources that come with being part of a large diocese, and whether her experience is largely similar or different to that of a priest recognized by the Vatican. She is officially part of the Roman Catholic Women Priest Movement in the Great Waters region, which covers Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and Illinois. Before she was a member of this region, she was part of the German and Austrian region because she was ordained in Austria. She is also a commissioned member of the Federation of Christian Ministries. She says that starting a parish was very difficult, but they continue to grow as they enter their 5th year and have purchased a closed Byzantine Catholic church that they converted for their space.
So I celebrate the sacraments. We have mass or liturgies every weekend. We have both in person on Saturdays and Zoom on Sundays, now that we live in this world where, Zoom is a part of our reality. And so we celebrate the Eucharist every week. I celebrate as a priest, anointings. I officiated quite a few weddings. I think I had 9 weddings this year, mostly Catholic parties, younger couples who have left the church for whatever reason or didn't want to go through all the hoops that the church puts in front of people. And so I do a lot of weddings, funerals, anything really that a diocesan priest would do.
As women are not able to be recognized in the priesthood under Catholic canon law, it can be difficult for women to join the priesthood without direct role models. Could you tell us a little bit about what female religious role models you had, if any, growing up?
So I grew up in Catholic environment, Catholic school, so I had experience of many religious sisters or nuns. My aunt was a nun, so, you know, just having a nun that close was a strong female figure. But really, it was probably the religious sisters. And, you know, I'm a post-Vatican II person, and so the women religious, the sisters after Vatican II especially, many of them were really strong, powerful leaders.
We wanted to know how Reverend Sterringer reconciled her faith with controversy surrounding the institution's oppression of marginalized communities for hundreds of years.
Well, that's an excellent question. So most of the struggles I've personally been through as a Catholic, and many that of the community that gathers here, most of the community that gathers here are, you know, they come out of the Catholic tradition. Not everyone, but I would say by far the majority. And then most are here because they are struggling not only with the way the institution has treated marginalized people throughout history, but the way it's continuing to treat marginalized people today, which in some ways it's even worse today than it was, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. And so one of the ways that I personally respond to that is there are aspects of the Catholic faith that, you know, are just a part of who I am, you know, the devotions and some of the prayer life, things like that, but we've broken from the institution. So we've been able to separate, you know, we can be Catholic, but not be tied to Rome. So most of the community members here really no longer identify as Roman Catholic, even though, you know, I was ordained through the Roman Catholic Women Priest Movement, but still identify as Catholic. So in a way, embracing our Catholic faith without being connected to the actual institution and providing a space where not only can people talk about it and find ways to heal from it, but where we can address and be different than the institution is in a lot of these ways in terms of the way we welcome and care for as best we can some of the marginalized people that we encounter.
Our next question for Reverend Sterringer was about any particular obstacles or processes that were significantly difficult in her journey to ordination. Obtaining her Master's of Divinity was particularly challenging because the Diocesan Seminary refuses to award the degree to women. This led to her forging her own academic path through MD equivalent courses.
An MDiv is a Master of Divinity, and it's usually required for clergy. And so the situation I found myself in is the Diocesan Seminary offers the MDiv because the seminarians have to obtain that. But for a lay person to go into the doctoral program there, you have to have an MDiv or an MDiv equivalent, but they don't grant the actual degree to women. So I went through the whole MDiv program, but they, you know, they called it an MDiv equivalent because, you know, they wouldn't actually grant the degree. So that was difficult, especially at times being the only woman in the classroom or being in a program that really is designed for the seminarians. So
criticism of ordained women in the Roman Catholic Church is particularly rampant since the Vatican has yet to recognize these ordinations and continues to excommunicate those who are involved in movements like the Roman Catholic Women Priests. The majority of criticism that Reverend Sterringer receives was from the diocese itself, which she tends to respond to in a neutral and understanding way.
I've tried to respond calmly and pastorally and with a recognition that I understand truly that some people just, especially, you know, when you're formed in a religious environment from the time of your birth and you're told from the time of your birth for 30, 40, 50, 60 years that God doesn't call women or God doesn't allow this, you know, when another voice comes forward and says, well, no, that's not true. You know, it takes a long time to deprogram.
A prominent issue that arose in her career was part of the fallout from being ordained, more specifically dealing with her excommunication. Being kicked out of the church that she had devoted her life to caused a more personal, emotional struggle for Reverend Sterringer. Here, Reverend Sterringer explains the excommunication process.
It's done very simply. They have a thing in place, what they call automatic excommunication. excommunication. It's a Latin word, late sententiae, which basically means we've excommunicated ourselves. And so sometimes they just leave it at that and just assume you know you're excommunicated. Other times they can pursue it and be a bit harassing about it. And that's been my case. So I've been dealing with that excommunication process for about 3 years. So that's probably been the most difficult, more personally than anything.
We went on to ask Reverend Staringer about how her excommunication has impacted her faith and relationship with God.
Well, interestingly, it's made my faith stronger because, you know, it, at least my relationship with Christ, with Jesus, because, you know, it brought to life a bit some of the persecution we see in the scriptures, you know, what Jesus went through with the institution of his day. And in many ways, you know, when you're on a path that's painful, like excommunication, I think you can identify in a different way with kind of the scriptural mandates to, you know, pick up your cross, that discipleship isn't easy, that it's, you're going to be persecuted, you know, all of those things really come to life. And so while they're difficult in the level of dealing with the community and dealing with the diocese at times, from a spiritual perspective, it's actually made my faith stronger and also confirmed for me that I'm on the right path. Because I think, you know, we notice when we start going up against the power structures of the day, whether they're religious or secular, you know you're on the right path when you start hitting resistance. So so it's actually strengthened my faith in God and Christ, not the institution. You know, I've pretty much washed my hands of the institution.
When asked about her journey into priesthood and any regrets she had along the way, she replied and said that she did not believe there was anything she would have done differently. Since the journey to women's ordination in the Roman Catholic Church is relatively new, Reverend Staringer believes that the important thing to focus on now is just forging a path to ordination that can be improved upon once it is fully established.
Road to women's ordination, there's no pass. Like, we're all just fumbling along because, you know, it's a relatively new. It's not new in the sense that women were ordained in the early church, but it's new to our modern history, our historical experience. But also, there's no pass laid out for us to take. So it's not like I could say, well, I should have gone this way, or I should have done this. I think at the time we just do the best we can and look for an open door and a way to, you know, keep moving along the path. So yeah, at this point, you know, maybe in a couple, 20 years or something, a couple decades, I can think back and have a little more wisdom for it. But now we're still just kind of beating the brush down as we're making the path. So I don't really have anything I would have done differently. Other than I may not have engaged the diocese as long as I did in conversation, because that was hard on me. You know, I probably would have cut that off sooner.
Lastly, we wanted to know, what are Reverend Staringer's hopes for the future of RCWP?
Well, I hope that the path gets a bit easier. I hope that all the work we're doing now, you know, even though we're not very well organized and we're all kind of doing our own things, I'm hoping that that starts to pave paths so that a generation or two down the road, you know, might find more clearer ways to go to pursue it. As far as the Roman Catholic Church, like our relationship to the Roman Catholic Church, you know, every one Roman Catholic woman priest, I think, has a different attitude of this. For me personally, my hopes for the future is never to reunite with the institution, because I think it's not just about women's ordination. There's so many other layers here that are toxic and need to be addressed, that are much bigger than women priests. And so for me personally, I don't have a desire to connect back to the institution. What I really hope for the Roman Catholic women priests is they become a bit more organized and more visible, so that they really can create a new way, if you will, of being Catholic. That's, you know, respectful of some of the beautiful and rich traditions, but at the same time, creating something entirely new and inclusive and open and healthy.
Although women's ordination in the Roman Catholic Church is yet to be legalized by canon law, Reverend Sterringer has high hopes for the future of the RCWP movement itself. She believes that maintaining distance from the institution is crucial to moving forward, rather than spending valuable time and energy fighting against an organization that has held the same beliefs for centuries. In our next episode, we'll be looking at another group that currently does not ordain women, but has women's ordination advocates and organizations, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That concludes our podcast for today. Our theme music was Bird Therapist by Craig MacArthur, used by an attribution non-commercial share alike Creative Commons license. Special thanks to Reverend Shannon Sterringer. Also, thanks to Dan Bennett and Meredith Richer of the Smith Learning Research and Technology team. And thanks to the Religion Department that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College. Tune in next time on Women's Rights.